Welcome back to another episode of Palisade Radio. This is your host, Colin Cattell. You'll notice we have not done an episode for a few days as the Palisade team was at the Beaver Creek Mining Conference, which was a huge success. And I was sitting with our good friend Peter Spina at a table, and across from the table was a gentleman I had not met yet by the name of David Earfley. And he's a newsletter writer, and I asked him to come on the show and share some of his insights with us. So, David Earfley, welcome to the show.
Thanks a lot, Colin. Thanks for having me.
Yeah, for sure. I was most interested in the short discussion we had at the show. You're definitely a skeptic of the business, which I think anybody who knows what they're doing and has been in the business needs to be skeptical. The junior mining sector is certainly laughable at times, and there's a lot of stuff going on that does not add value. So I definitely wanted to bring you on the show. Just to start off, your website, which you started about 18 months ago, called Junior Miner Junkie with a Y. .com, so any of our audience can go and check David's website out there. David, why don't you tell us a little bit about yourself and how you got into the sector?
Okay. I discovered the sector around 2003. And before that, I was watching all my friends get rich in tech stocks. So about 2000, I decided that, hey, if they could do it, I could do it too. So I invested a bunch of money in tech stocks and probably lost half of it. And then I decided to start to look at what was going up while everything else was going down. That's kind of where I started.
Excellent. And then I guess I just want to touch on some of the current events going on. We did a bit of a pre-show talk and just talking over things. I guess the biggest one that's happened surrounding the Beaver Creek Conference was, of course, the combination of Barrick Gold and Rand Gold. They're calling it a merger, and this is going to create, of course, the biggest mining company by market cap. What do you think of this kind of activity, and what does it mean for the cycle and the market?
Well, I think it's very good for the sector. You know, at sector tops and bottoms, you start to see a lot of M&A activity, and you're starting to see that now. You know, earlier this year, we've had three all-cash deals for large companies. That's very nice to see. It's very rare to see one all cash deal in this sector, and to see three is very encouraging. And I really like this Rand Gold Barrick merger. I like the fact that Mark Bristow has committed to stay on for 5 years as CEO, and he's also rolling all his Rand Gold shares into Barrick shares. I really like the Rand Gold model. Whenever I'm doing a lot of research to figure out which companies that I want to invest in that are developing projects, I learn a lot from the Rand Gold model. I watch what their criteria is for taking over a company, and that's the criteria. A lot of that criteria, I use that before I make a purchase in a stock that I feel is a near term or a medium term takeover target.
Three all-cash deals, I think the cash part of that is important. And it's kind of strange if you think about it. These stocks are not just at 52-week lows, many of them, but multi-year lows. And it says something about what this bear market has done to the big mining companies in terms of fixing up their balance sheet and forcing them to operate as much stronger companies and to have cash to be doing buyouts. What does that say to you?
Yeah, these companies, they've done a great job of repairing their balance sheets, a lot of these majors. So they have cash. And also, it's also interesting to note that a lot of these management teams, they were around back in 2010 and 2011 when they were making a lot of mistakes and buying the wrong companies at the wrong time. They were purchasing companies that held low grade bulk tonnage deposits at the top of the market, and they ended up later having to write these down, and it really cost shareholders, it really cost the market. So I think they learned a lot from those lessons, and they're applying them right now.
I suppose at a certain point, the quality assets, the easy takeovers, the inevitable ones, when we're talking about high grade and just really top quartile sort of projects, at a certain point, they all get sucked up. And then you're either left with buying assets that are not as good or the majors getting back into the exploration and development game. And do you think that that's approaching? Are there a lot of mergers left to take place before that gets forced?
Oh, absolutely. And what's interesting to note is a lot of these mergers were done in the mid-tier space. This is the first one we've had in the major space for a while. So that's very interesting. Some people might argue that this takes Eric off the acquisition table, and now they're going to be divesting some of their assets. That is true, but there's still a lot of majors out there that need to replace their high-grade ounces. So I expect to see more of this. I don't expect to see it right away, but I expect to see it because the fundamentals haven't changed. The price of gold has gotten lower, but the fundamentals haven't changed. I mean, these companies still need to replace these high-grade ounces, and they're still looking for large deposits in safe jurisdictions with blue-sky potential. So I think it's still going to continue.
There are certainly several different ways to invest in or speculate in the mining sector, the junior mining sector, and that's kind of what this show is all about. I have not been a subscriber of your newsletter yet, as we just met, and in fact, I haven't had a chance to look through the newsletter. So I want to get a take on what your niche in the sector is and what you're looking for and where you're guiding the audience that you have towards.
Well, I started out in this sector as a know-nothing retail investor, and I learned a lot from subscribing to newsletters. So I've probably subscribed to just about everyone that's out there. And I kind of went into this business, I went into my own newsletter kind of reluctantly, and I really didn't want to do it. But, you know, I write a column for Kitco every week. I've been doing that for a couple of years now. And a lot of my readers kept nagging me that I should start a newsletter. So I said to myself, well, if I'm going to start this newsletter, I'm going to do it to make sure that it's customer friendly and it's geared towards making people money. I think the only way to do that is to give your subscribers a 24-hour notice before you yourself buy something, because I'm first of all an investor. That's number one what I am. Number two, I'm a journalist, and number three, I'm a newsletter writer. So basically, what my service does is my subscribers piggyback what I do. You know, they have access to my entire portfolio. They have access to all my trades, when I purchased it, when I sold it, how much I made, how much I lost. And like I said, I give them a 24-hour notice before I buy something. So in order to do that, I have to cap the service at 200, because as you know, Colin, a lot of these companies are very illiquid. So if we're all trying to get into the same stock at the same time, it wouldn't be very feasible. So I've limited the subscription and the subscribers to 200, and it just filled up a few weeks ago. But I do have cancellations now and again, and I do have a waiting list. There will be about 5 spaces opening up in October, and I do have a free email list, which gets you my Kitco column in your inbox every week. So I have updates in that free email list on the availability of my service.
Excellent. Well, asking you to disclose specific names in the portfolio would be disadvantageous for your paying subscribership, but is there any sector that you're very focused on within junior mining? Are you focused on high-grade exploration? Is there some optionality in there, development stories, or is it just kind of a mixture of all the above and other?
Yeah, it's a mixture, Colin. It all depends on where we are in the space. In June, when gold closed below $1,260 on a monthly basis, I advise my readers, I advise my listeners, I advise my subscribers to sell optionality plays, get out of silver producing companies, and get out of high cost gold companies. And that, as soon as gold lost the $1,260 on the monthly, that was a technical signal that it was going to lose a lot more. So do right now is stay away from those companies that I just mentioned. And right now I'm focusing on, I have a, for my subscribers, I have a top 10 list. and I have a top 8 takeover target list. I think it's best to concentrate on the companies that you feel might be taken over within the next 12 to 18 months. And also, I like early stage exploration. If a company has cashed up, they have a serially successful management team that is exploring in a safe jurisdiction with a big land package and has some really good targets to drill, I'm definitely on board with a company like that.
Excellent. Well, we began with a piece of news in the sector being the Barrick and Randgold merger. Let's end with the Fed meeting today, which I know you tuned into. Was there anything interesting, different, shocking, something that could have implications for gold?
Yes. The Fed took out the word accommodative in their rate hike statement, which should have produced a better bounce in gold. And it didn't, and that's a little ominous. And we had the shares sell off on pretty high volume on the GDX, so that wasn't good either. Leading into that meeting, it was starting to get bullish for the shares as they were leading the gold price. The shares, silver, and also platinum was leading the gold price into this meeting. So sure, one day does not a trend make, but fully watching the 1194 level and the December gold price. I see a close below that level. I think it's a very good chance we're going to see at least a double bottom in the gold price around that 1260, 1265 level, right around there. And in worst case scenario, later on down the line, maybe even a retest of 1125 where it hit in December of 2016. So like I said, it's advisable to have a lot of cash and some more patience and a nice watch list of companies you want to get into when you feel the space is bottomed.
Excellent. Well, last question to leave you with, David. You've been around in the space watching, you said, since 2001, so that means you experienced that bottoming process before that great bull market, and then, of course, you lived through the 2008 crash, and then what's happened since kind of 2011. So you've seen a few cycles here. Bigger picture, where do you think we are for gold? Did we begin a bull market in 2016? Where do you think kind of 2 years out we're going to be for these junior mining stocks?
Yes, live to tell the tale is kind of the phrase that you should concentrate on that you just said there, Colin. Yeah, it's been a wild ride, but I think the bull market started in 2001. You know, so this has just been a correction in that bull market, and that's in a secular bull market. Is there a chance that it could go below $1,000 an ounce? Absolutely. Am I predicting that? No. But you have to psychologically prepare for that, you know, because anything can happen in this space. What you're seeing right now is very interesting. You know, the gold price has been shellacked since April, mostly on a strong dollar. That was the big reason why the gold price went down. Everybody was in agreement with that. Well, we've just had a head and shoulders top on the dollar neckline break pretty hard, and the dollar looks pretty bearish now, but the gold price has not reacted to that. That is very strange. So I know there's central banks selling gold right now. I know Turkey's selling gold. That's probably what happened last Friday when you saw the gold price lose about 15 bucks in 30 seconds. That was probably Turkey selling, but we don't know. We just pay attention to the numbers, pay attention to the fundamentals. And I just think right now, a lot of people are confused right now on where to put their capital. So when that happens, it's best to have a bunch of cash and wait to see what happens. You know, we're approaching the fourth quarter here, and we're in a very toppy stock market. So if the stock market gets hit hard, gold stocks are stocks. They can get hit right along with them, even though they're really depressed right now. It's really advisable to take a watch and see attitude here. Do not sell your core holdings, you know, in your gold stocks, but have a lot of cash.
You know, a funny thought to leave everybody with, you just said we've been in a bull market since 2001, and I can imagine telling somebody 30 or 40 years in the future and they look back at the gold price chart and you explain a lot of people lost their entire fortune from 2011 to 2015 and got wiped out. And you look at that chart of gold, if it eventually ends at 4,000 or 5,000, and you're going to say, how the hell did that happen? And it's just the cyclicality and volatility of the space is truly incredible. And if you're not in it, you just can't get it.
That's right. That's right. And gold gold usually, I mean, almost always, not usually, almost always has a false move before the big move. And that happened in 2008. This might be another false move right here. We just don't know. Could be a false move. We just don't know what's going to happen here.
Yeah, well, let's see. We'll see how it plays out. Time will tell. David, thank you for coming on the program, and I'll definitely look to get you back here soon. So anybody who's interested can check out David's site, and best of luck with everything you've got going on your side.
Thanks a lot, Colin. Appreciate it.
Think you understand the junior mining sector and you think that the participants in the mining sector, junior mining sector, are good people and kind people, hit the bid.
How violent that term could be, it actually could be quite violent. It could be a rip your face off uranium rally.
And the world is always going to need raw material. It's going to need copper and gold and nickel and so forth.
Totally destabilized. Hey, troll, did you hear what's going on?